I'm as confused as a chameleon in a bag of Skittles. Well, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see, folks, confusion comes in the constant changing in the world around us. And all of those changes put pressure. Pressure to match this group. Pressure to match that group. Pressure to accept this. Pressure to accept that. Pressure to change your definition. Pressure to change your values. Pressure to accept that all the world's changing. Pressure for this. Pressure for that. Now, I would tell you that that's basically what the meaning of that word in Romans 12:2 that says, be not conformed, be not pressed or pressured into a mold by that which is around you. Confusion comes in constant change. Today, this group is offended by something that you say. Tomorrow you change to try not to offend them, and somebody else is offended. Next week there's a different squeaking wheel that cries. And as we look around in our society, we find that we have a hard time matching what's crying the loudest at the moment. And I'm not trying to get political. I'm telling you that it's humanity. And if it's not this issue, it's that issue. If it's not that issue, it's that group. It's this, that. Humanity is always looking for its own edge. And as you know, the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, everybody wants the grease, and so you have a lot of squeaky wheels around you. Which one do I match now? And when I can't match, confusion comes. What's acceptable this week may not be acceptable next week. What was acceptable and expected when I was growing up is not acceptable and expected anymore. And as I look at all the different colors of Skittles in the bag around me, what do I match? I'm as confused as a chameleon in a bag full of Skittles. You ever been there? You may not be there today, but you ever been there? Chances are at some particular point in time in your life you may find yourself there yet if you haven't been yet. But I want to tell you that when we find ourselves with all of the differences in the world around us, the real encouragement to us is that we don't have to be conformed. Be not conformed. And now notice that Paul prefaces this statement. It is an imperative. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. But I want you to notice that rather than just making an imperative statement, Paul prefaces that in light of the mercy of God. I beseech you, I call upon you, brethren, I encourage you, brethren, by the mercies of God. You're not going to do it by yourself, but by the mercies of God, I ask you, I encourage you. You start out, you don't do this first, but you present your bodies a living sacrifice placed in the hand of God. Lord, I give myself, I give what I am, I give what I have, I give what I can be, I give whatever you will bless me to become, not to my will, but to your will. Now, in doing that, Don't be conformed. Don't be pressed. How many of you made Christmas cookies this year? How many of you used cookie cutters that looked like Santa Claus or looked like a Christmas tree? I remember my mama used to have about five or six of them when I was a boy growing up. And you could look at the cookie cutter and you could tell it was supposed to be Santa Claus. And somehow or another, by the time the cookies come out and got through, it didn't look like Santa Claus. But there was a star. And there was a Christmas tree. But the idea of those cookie cutters was that you could take that dough and you put that cookie cutter in it, and every one of them that came out was going to be pressed into that shape. Everything else was going to be cut away from it, and that shape was going to be left. You ever play with modeling clay? You ever play with Play-Doh? Especially, ever watch a kid play with Play-Doh? The lid on that Play-Doh used to have some kind of a design on it. And the idea was you could take that clay and you could shove it down in that thing and make it come out looking like that. Well, the idea of that word conformed is exactly that idea of that cookie cutter cutting everything away except just what's in that cookie cutter. For having yourself pressed into a form that somebody else thinks you ought to be. Be not conformed to this world. Don't try to match the Skittles. Don't try to match the changes in this world. Don't try to match all the varieties and variousness of humanity. Don't try to make yourself line up with somebody else's ideas of what you ought to be. But be ye transformed. You ever watched a caterpillar spin its cocoon, cover itself, hang there for period of time, only to watch that caterpillar come out as a butterfly or a moth? That crawly, wiggly worm that got stepped on so easily. Be changed into something so free and so beautiful. What made the change? It just hung there. Didn't see any hands working on it. No magic wand waved over it. No sprinkles poured on it. No pixie dust thrown by it. None of those things. But there was in that process a divine power that brought about a metamorphosis, a change from one thing to something totally different by divine design. This word transform comes from the word metamorphuo, from which we get metamorphosis. You be changed by the renewing of your mind. You don't start by changing your body. You don't start by changing your clothes. You don't start by changing your bank account. You don't start by changing your place in society. It starts with a change of mind. Well, when I get to this place, then I'll do different. No, you start out by saying, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. Now, the renewal starts with regeneration. When you are quickened from death to life, and you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, you are worked upon by the grace of God, and you are changed from death to life. You don't do that. God does that. And God writes within, puts within you a new heart and a new mind. And from that point on, He continues to renew your mind, to change your mind. And it transforms your life. God's way, you don't transform your life. God's way transforms your life. It's the most liberating thing to know of. That butterfly that went in as a caterpillar and hung there in that cocoon comes out with a whole world open before it. And you understand, folks, that the grace of God is the most liberating thing in our lives. Why? Because He takes us from death when we had no hope and gives us life in Jesus Christ by His grace, by His sovereign action, by His divine choice, and then constantly directs our path by His Word. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind comes through the Word of God. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Now remember that Timothy has been charged to pass on things that Paul has given to him to other godly men, that they might in turn pass it on to someone else. You have the opportunity, as God places within your life. You may not be the preacher. You may not be a minister. You may not be the one to stand up in front. But every one of you that has the grace of God put inside of your life have the opportunity to prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. To whom do you prove it? You prove it to yourself as you see what God's doing in you, but it also proves to other people with whom you come in contact. How many of you had the opportunity over the course of the holidays in some way to sit down and to talk to a young child, grandchild, niece or a nephew, someone who was around you that you could talk about something that had happened in your life that may be different from what they're seeing around them right now? How many of us talk about, well, when I was a kid, we used to get oranges and apples and walnuts under the Christmas tree. I remember hearing that story when I was growing up. Well, we don't have to talk about just Santa Claus. And we don't have to talk about just what goes on at Christmas. We have the opportunity year-round to talk about what God's done in our lives. And demonstrate it. To prove it. You're not proving whether it's right or wrong. You are demonstrating it because it is right. And it's the same all the time. It does not change. That you of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Don't argue about things that are of no importance. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth. Shun profane and common and empty babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. You see, folks, all of the vain babblings of the world that want you to match them, want you to get lost in them, it increases to ungodliness. The one thing that grows unto godliness in our life is the word of truth. the word of God which testifies of Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me, Jesus. You see, folks, the word of truth is the one common thing among God's people that never changes. Ours is not to be a life striving to match a bag of Skittles with all the differences. Ours is to be a life to match Jesus Christ, who does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't say yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because that leaves the possibility of maybe not day after tomorrow. But his yesterday is what he was. Today is what he is. And forever is what he will be. The same thing. Ever wonder about the strangeness of the name in which God answered Moses when Moses said, "Lord, who will I tell them sent me? Well, what's your name? Who do I tell them that brought me unto them?" And his answer was what? "I am. You tell them I am has sent you." Why would he call himself that? Because that's what he always is. It's what he was with Moses. It's what he was when Jesus was born. It's what he was when Paul was preaching. It's what he was when my grandmother and grandfather were growing up. It's what he is today, and it's what he will be if time stands 150 years from now. It's always present tense. I am. You see, folks, if we keep our eyes focused on what Jesus Christ is, we're going to follow him. And he's going to lead us in the transformation. I don't have to figure out what to match. He'll tell me what to match. And when I match his righteousness, when I match his standard, then it doesn't matter what all the other colors are. His standard is the white of his righteousness. And that's what I'm to follow. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God's judgment, God's instruction, God's word is righteous. And it's altogether. There's no part of it that's not. There's not some part of it that I can like and some part that I can abandon. It's altogether righteous. And you see, when I match his righteousness, then I find my fellowship with him like the writer in the Song of Solomon describes. As the bride looks at her love, the church looks at Jesus Christ. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. I don't have to match this group today and that group next week. You see, my goal is to match Jesus. To keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. My confusion is eliminated when I have but one thing that I look at. And that one thing is the same every day. Now the world around me is not going to be the same, but his standard's going to be the same. The world around me may change, but he's not going to change. And as long as I'm looking at him, then it takes the confusion out of my life. Peter, Matthew chapter 14, Peter answered Jesus. Jesus had come walking in the night in the midst of a storm, had came walking on top of the water, and he came to where the disciples were. And he told them, he said, "Fear not, it is I." And Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, if it really is you, bid me come to thee on the water." And he, that is Jesus, said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, when he took his eyes off Jesus and began looking at the waves bouncing around him, when he took his eye off the source of the direction and looked at the threat, when he took his eyes off of the one that said, "Come," and looked at the difficulties about going, he began to sink. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You see, folks, as a new day tomorrow, you don't even have to wait till New Year's. But as 5 minutes from now and unfolds in front of us, as every breath that we draw opens before us with an opportunity, with a question, with a wave, with a wind, even with a bag of Skittles, with all the differences of the world. The real issue is not what's out there that I'm looking at, it's Jesus that I'm looking at. You see, brothers and sisters, if we let the world make us conform to them, then we can't prove the righteous will of God. I can't demonstrate it if I'm matching the world. Jesus sent us into the world, but He said that we were not of the world. They didn't make us what we are. His grace makes us what we are. Folks, our confusion and our struggle in life can be answered not by the colors in the bag of Skittles, not by the differences in the world about us, not by all of the things out there, but our confusion will be answered in Jesus Christ. The right thing to do, doing the right thing, will be done when I follow not what pleases men, but what pleases God. Now, the question is going to be, in the days to come, am I going to keep my eyes on Jesus? Or am I going to look at the bag of Skittles? Am I going to keep my eyes on the one who gave me the instructions? Or am I going to look at the waves that are around me? Am I going to keep my eyes on the renewing, liberating power of the grace of God? Or am I going to let the world press me into its own shape? I'm going to tell you today, folks, I can't keep you from having the bag of Skittles around you. No one can keep you from having the winds and the waves that blow. Those things are going to happen. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. Now that's Jesus' statement. And the "shall" in that statement is just as valid and just as true as when it said, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." We love to stand on that "shall." Oh, that's what's going to be. Well, I'm going to tell you, in this world, you shall have tribulation. You're going to have questions. You're going to have uncertainties. You're going to have people who differ with you. You're going to have a bag of Skittles. Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Am I going to look at the world? Or am I going to look at the one that has overcome the world? Am I going to follow the questions? Or am I going to go with the one that's got the answer? Am I going to go with the changes?
or am I going to go with the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, that you may demonstrate, you may manifest and show the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. If God gives us another day, may we focus on Him. It's my prayer for Christ's sake.